If you have your Bibles there with you, please turn to three short passages, starting with Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, followed by Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7, and lastly, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Then Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And the last passage, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray before we examine those verses. Our dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the written word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who inspired those words. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we look into it, that, Lord, you will open our understanding to your word and help us, Lord, to learn something to apply to our lives. Lord, we do know that when we are together, it is possible that the evil one is distracting our attention. We pray, Heavenly Father, at this time, that all distractions will cease in the wonderful name of Jesus, and that we will be able to concentrate and focus on you and listen and hear very clearly your Holy Spirit speaking to us. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit himself will fill this place with power from above, and that I will speak only the words that come from you. We ask all these things, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. It is obviously not easy predicting what will happen in future. In 1966, Time magazine published an article titled "The Futurists," and predicted what life would be like in year 2000. One of their predictions was as follows: remote shopping, while entirely feasible, will flop because women like to get out of the house, like to handle merchandise, like to be able to change their minds. On the contrary, reality shows that online shopping has not flopped at all. It has grown into a mega business And women are at least as active as men as far as online shopping is concerned. In fact, rumors have it that men prefer to shop in the buildings rather than online. But those are rumors. What I can confirm based on statistics is that according to information available on the internet, it is estimated that about 1.92 billion people worldwide purchased goods or services online in 2019. And the e-retail sales exceeded $3.5 trillion. It's incredible, but that is the reality we face even in our days. Despite the fact that nobody knows the date of the second coming of our Lord, many predictions have been made about it over the centuries. The predictions made by an American pastor, William Miller, not my relative in any way, William Miller predicted in 19th century the following. My principles in brief are that Jesus Christ will come again to this earth, cleanse, purify, and take possession of the same with all the saints sometime between March 21, 1843 and March 21, 1844. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ did not show up on March 21st, 1844. Therefore, Pastor Miller conducted a more in-depth study and he came up with a revised date, April 18, 1844. When this new day passed without Christ's return, Pastor Miller responded publicly in writing, and he said, or he stated, I confess my error and acknowledge my disappointment, yet I still believe that the day of the Lord is near, even at the door. Some prophecies were made in the Old Testament about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. However, unlike the predictions of people like Pastor William Miller, the Old Testament prophecies were spot on. They were completely accurate because they were all truly from the God Almighty. In this message, I would like to focus on three key prophecies made by prophets Isaiah and Micah about the birth and personality of our Lord Jesus Christ. With Christmas round the corner, I hope this message will challenge us to have a closer walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who entered this world as a baby in the manger in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago. The message is titled, The Prophecies Were Spot On. And I would like to focus on just 3 points. The first one is small, yet significant. Secondly, God is with us. And thirdly, what a special child. Let's look at the 3 points in detail. The first one, small yet significant. Apart from shopping and sending Christmas cards, one of the popular activities preceding Christmas is the singing of Christmas carols. One of my favorite carols is the one we sang earlier on, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And it was written by Reverend Philip Brooks, who lived 1835 to 1893. The carol was partly inspired by the visit he made to Jerusalem and Bethlehem in 1865 and the prophecy God gave Micah about 700 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us read again, Micah 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. This was a prophecy God gave prophet Micah about the birthplace of the expected Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the type of person he would be. Micah was actually a contemporary of Isaiah, Amos, and Hosea, and he was from the town of Moresheth in Judah. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Micah stated clearly that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. And for the avoidance of doubt, he specified which Bethlehem he was talking about. There was another town called Bethlehem, located in the northern part of the country, in the tribe of Zebulun, located in the Galilee area, and we see this mentioned in Joshua chapter 19, verse 15. Therefore, it was stated clearly that the special one, the Messiah, will be born in Bethlehem Ephrata, located near Jerusalem in the tribe of Judah. According to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Bethlehem Ephrata was small, but it was going to be transformed into a very important town because a special king was going to be born there. Today, Bethlehem Ephrata is very famous, and many tourists, including our brother Gary, from all over the world have visited that place because it is the undisputed birthplace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ was brought into this world in a place called Bethlehem Ephrata. And because of that point, because of Jesus Christ, Bethlehem Ephrata has a special significance in the heart of many people down the centuries. As we go through life, we sometimes come across people or situations that make us feel inferior, small, and insignificant. The world judges people too easily by outward appearance. And if we are not careful, we can develop a kind of inferiority complex. However, we must not forget that for those of us who have been born again, our significance is found only in Jesus Christ. And to me, that is a big deal. Our significance through Jesus Christ is confirmed in many Bible verses, including the following familiar ones. John chapter 1, verse 12 reads, "Yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, we read, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We can walk tall because of the incredible high status conferred on us by our Lord Jesus Christ. I can truly say in the streets of Chorley and before all of you that I am somebody because Jesus has made me somebody. Because Jesus is my Redeemer. Can you say the same thing today? It is worth noting that the name Bethlehem means house of bread, and Ephrata means fruitful. We also know that in John 6:35, Jesus described himself as the bread of life, and he is the only one who can satisfy our spiritual hunger. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Therefore, we can see that the meaning of the name Bethlehem Ephrata is in a way a reminder of who Jesus is and the impact he could make in the lives of those who believe in him. Indeed, if you want your spiritual hunger to be satisfied and live a fruitful life, you need to personally know this Jesus Christ from Bethlehem Ephrata. Have you accepted him as your personal Savior and Lord? If not, today is another opportunity to do so. If you have already done so, I would like to ask you, are you bearing much fruit? Are you bearing much fruit for Jesus? Remember the condition he gave for bearing much fruit. You need to abide in me. You need to remain in Jesus. Whatever may happen to you, you need to abide in Jesus Christ in order to bear fruit. I encourage all of us to abide in Jesus Christ every single day. Nothing must dislodge us from that. Remember, abiding, abode, they are related. And in the old English word abode, abode is like a place where you live. So are you residing in Jesus Christ? Are you living in Jesus Christ? It's my prayer that you and I will actually live every moment of our days in Jesus Christ. Let's look at the second key point. God is with us. A very important prophecy about the birth of Jesus is recorded in Isaiah 7, verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." This prophecy mentioned two important things about our Lord Jesus Christ. First, he would be born in an extraordinary way. He would be born by a virgin, a lady who has had no sexual relationship with a man. Secondly, he would be called Emmanuel, which according to Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 means God with us. Emmanuel is God with us. This prophecy was fulfilled as indicated in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Virgin Mary remains one of the important doctrines of the Church of Christ. But I would like us to examine very briefly the importance of the name Emmanuel. In Jesus Christ, God is with us in at least two ways. The first one, God became man to dwell among us. The incarnate Son of God came to live among us, to demonstrate the character of God to us, to teach us the true way to God, and ultimately die for our sins on the cross. John chapter 1 verse 14 reads, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Sin had created a gap in the relationship between God and man. Sin had created an enmity between God and man. In order to bridge that gap, God the Son, Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, the perfect Lamb of God, left his glories above, took up human flesh, and went to the cross to pay the price for all our sins. We see this in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. Jesus exchanged his glories above to come to this sinful world to show the great love of God to us. Yes, Jesus became man to dwell among us. But the second way in which God is with us is that God is with us in all our daily struggles. God is with us in all our daily struggles. The incarnate Son of God is with us to help us and to support us. At the time of this prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, around 740 BC, Jerusalem was under attack from an alliance formed by the kings of Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. King Ahaz of Judah was afraid, and he wanted an assurance from God that Judah would not be defeated by that powerful alliance. Based on the prophecy sent through Isaiah, the message to King Ahaz was simply this: God is with you, and you will be delivered from your enemies. In Jesus, our Emmanuel, God is assuring us today that our victory over sin and Satan is guaranteed. He is also assuring us of his presence with us in the battles we face. We have been studying Romans 8 for quite a while, And many, many important things came out of that study. But Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? The answer, of course, is nobody. Paul went on to make a bold statement in Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Indeed, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, who is God with us. I encourage you to give all your battles to him. I'm sure that some of you would have heard of a well-known poem titled Footprints, written in 1936 by an American lady, Mary Stevenson. It was written when she was only about 14 years old, and it was a reflection of the difficult times she experienced in her early years. She lost her mother at the age of 6 years, and her father had to bring up all their 8 children by himself. You can imagine the hardship such a big family had to go through during the Great Economic Depression of 1929 to 1939. But I would like us to listen to the words of that poem that she wrote. Or it's just a reminder, because I think most of us have actually heard of it. But this is what she wrote. One night, I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were 2 sets of footprints. Other times there were only 1 set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only 1 set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, you promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you will walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have only been 1 set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, you have not been there for me? The Lord replied, and please listen to this. The Lord replied, the times when you have seen only 1 set of footprints is when I carried you. The times when you have seen only 1 set of footprints is when I carried you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not doubt the presence of our Lord with us, even in our darkest days. Whatever may be our struggles, however complex our problems may be, however discouraging our situation may be, let us be encouraged that Jesus Christ, our dependable Emmanuel, is there with us and for us, carrying us on his shoulders whenever necessary on this pilgrim journey. And I'll say, praise the Lord. The last but very important point I would like to focus on is, what a special child The people of Judah were used to having kings. In fact, King David was born in the town of Bethlehem, Ephrata. However, the prophet Micah prophesied about a unique king, much greater than David, who was to be born in the same small town. As we read in Micah 5, verse 2, "Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from ancient times." This statement indicates that the prophesied Messiah and king will be more than a human being. Indeed, his existence is from everlasting to everlasting. He is perfect man and perfect God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. The prophecy in Isaiah 9:6 is in line with Micah 5:2, and it is one of the most important declarations about our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us read Isaiah 9:6 again. And I read the version in NIV. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." If you are looking for a Bible verse that shows that Jesus Christ is God, this is it. If you are looking for a verse that supports the doctrine of Trinity, this is it. The prophecy from Isaiah 9:6 that the government will be on his shoulders, and the prophecy from Micah 5:2 about the one to be ruler in Israel will be fulfilled during the 1,000 reign of Jesus Christ from Jerusalem. However, in Isaiah 9:7, we can see that his reign will actually continue beyond the millennial period. He will reign forever and ever. And I think Handel Messiah reminds us of that. He will reign forever and ever. The big question now is this: is Jesus reigning in your heart today? Is he reigning in your heart today? Is he your king today? Is there a no-go area in your heart where Jesus Christ is forbidden to enter today? Are you leaving Jesus Christ in the living room of your heart? Or have you allowed him to go inside the bedrooms of your heart? Jesus does not want to remain in the living room. He is the one in charge of the whole house, including the bedroom of your heart. Is Jesus reigning in your heart today? Furthermore, Isaiah prophesied in verse 6 that the special son will be our wonderful counselor, just like the Holy Spirit, who guides us in his wisdom and helps us navigate our way through the ups and downs of life. As Prince of Peace, Jesus will be the source of our peace. In fact, in John 14:27, Jesus made the following important declaration about the kind of peace that he gives us. "Peace and live with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Therefore, if you really want to enjoy peace, true peace in this world, you need to accept the peace that Jesus offers. The prophecy made by Isaiah that the special son will be called Mighty God and Everlasting Father is a very clear statement about the divinity of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ himself confidently testified to this fact during his discussion with the Jews. In John chapter 8, verse 58, he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus called himself I Am, which of course you know was the name Yahweh, Jehovah, used for describing himself when he was in conversation with Moses in Exodus 3:14. No wonder, in John chapter 8:59, we read that the Jews wanted to stone Jesus, probably because they thought he committed the sin of blasphemy by calling himself I Am. Being God obviously puts Jesus Christ far above all the prophets that ever lived. Yes, Jesus is God, period. Jesus is God, period. Now, when we lived in the Netherlands in the early 1990s, Jehovah's Witnesses used to visit our home once in a while. In fact, one of my colleagues in the office was a member of the Jehovah's Witness. But on this particular day, one of them came to our doorstep and we started discussing various things. And one of the issues we discussed was the divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. While reading various Bible verses, I noticed that in their version of the Bible, they had modified the verses which indicated that Jesus is God. For example, I noticed that in their own Bible, John chapter 1 verse 1 was wrongly translated as this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." And that God is small g, a God, a God. Of course, the correct translation in our Bible is, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And God is capital G. But as the discussions continued, I referred them to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And so they opened their version of the Bible, and I opened mine. And I asked them to read from their version of the Bible. And so they read, and in their own Bible, it was written about this son that is to be born, that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, exactly as in our version. And this person was completely speechless. Because in their own version, Isaiah 9:6 testifies that Jesus is God, period. In view of this wonderful truth about the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to take his word very seriously. For example, Jesus made the following big claim. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Therefore, if you truly want to know the Almighty God, you need to come through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel. There is no other way. Furthermore, his virgin birth in Bethlehem Ephrata confirmed the prophecies made by prophets Isaiah and Micah. This shows that we can trust God's word completely. The remaining prophecies about Jesus Christ will therefore surely come to pass, including the rapture, which could come any time from now. But the question is, are you ready to meet our Lord Jesus Christ? I am ready. My bag is packed. Oh, in fact, I have no bag to pack because I have dumped my bag already on our Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Indeed, I believe Jesus is coming soon. I will never give a date, but I know it's coming soon, and I'm ready. That is the important thing. Are you ready for Jesus? In conclusion, we have looked at the topic, the prophecies were spot on, and we focused on three key points. Small, yet significant. God is with us, and what a special child. Now, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, it was stated, a son is given. A son is given. Jesus is God the Father's special gift given to mankind. Christmas is round the corner. And I'm sure that many of us have started buying Christmas gifts for our loved ones. Now, before we came to Charlie, we lived in the southeast in a town called Bromley in Kent. And in Bromley, Kent, there was a young man called Robert Quinn. Robert Quinn had a very strange but very interesting experience. This was reported in many papers, including UK Daily Mail. This is the experience he had. I'll read it as reported at the time. In 2014, a student from Bromley by name Robert Quinn had an unexpected early Christmas gift. He kept receiving unexpected parcels delivered to him by the online company Amazon. In all, he got 51 parcels containing all kinds of gifts, including a television set, a tablet computer, and a bed. Now, the problem was that the gifts were not really meant for him. And he only got them because of a computer error in Amazon. The surprising thing was that when Amazon contacted him, they told him the computer error had been fixed, but that he could keep all the items worth about £3,600. You can imagine How happy Robert Quinn was to receive such a collection of valuable free gifts. The good news for you and I is that God has a free gift for us that is infinitely more valuable than what Robert Quinn got from Amazon. In Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 9, it is stated that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Grace is an unmerited favor, an unmerited gift. There is nothing good we can do to earn the forgiveness for our sins. Jesus paid for all our sins when he bled and died for us on the cross at Calvary. This free gift of forgiveness is still available today. So whether you are here or you are watching at home, if you have never accepted that free gift of forgiveness through Christ Jesus, today is another opportunity to do so. Remember in Hebrews 4:7, the Lord inspired the writer to say, or to write, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, do not harden your hearts. If you have already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have accepted that free gift already, I challenge you to examine your heart to see if there's any way in which you are letting God down. It's only you who knows that whether that is the case. I know my heart. You know your heart. But we need to make sure that there is nothing preventing us from enjoying the peace of God every day. So if there's anything that you need to confess to Jesus, please do so and accept the forgiveness and repent and rededicate your life to him today. May the light of Jesus shine brightly through us, and may God flood the nations with his grace and mercy, as expressed in the song, "Shine, Jesus, shine." Jesus, our Emmanuel, wants us to shine for him. Those of us who know him as Savior and Lord, we are not to cover our light. We are to shine brightly for him. Graham Kendrick was inspired to write the following words, which actually is the chorus of the song, "Shine, Jesus, Shine." "Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light." Jesus himself said a big, big thing. He said, you are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. It is through him that we can get our light. Jesus said, you and I, those who are his true followers, we are the light of the world. The question is your light shining for Jesus? Is your light shining brightly for Jesus? Well, it's my prayer that will be the case. I wish you all a happy Christmas and a fruitful new year. May the light of Jesus shine brightly from you to your neighbors and to everyone you come across. And may God interpret this message into our hearts in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that has gone out. It's our prayer, Lord, that whatever you have taught us from this message will be applied to our lives. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus, I, Emmanuel, came for us. Thank you that he is with us. And Father, I pray that whatever we are going through today, that we will feel his presence with us. I pray that whatever we are confronting that is discouraging us, we pray that we'll find our Emmanuel more than sufficient for us. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true. Thank you that the prophecies of old were spot on, and that indeed Jesus was born in Bethlehem Ephrata. Thank you that Jesus indeed is God, and thank you that he indeed is the only way. We pray, O God, that those who have not yet found that way will do so through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for that love that came down through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we will share that love with our neighbors and with all those we come across. Shine, Jesus, shine. Shine in our lives. Shine brightly, Lord, through us. For we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen.